The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The Delta variant has raised concerns about the safe return of schools in September. Dr. Pally Mallon described the return of schools in 6 weeks as a potential ticking time bomb. Well, I'm joined by ASTI President Anne Piggott. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what are your concerns about this? Because we were all quite surprised to see the possibility of schools not reopening on time being ventilated in the last few days, although reassurance came this morning from Education Minister Norma Foley.
Yes, so obviously we have concerns about the high numbers and the potential peak that will come. But at the same time, from our perspective, we are quite pleased at the moment that all teachers will be vaccinated if they so wish on their return to school. So we're happy that rollout has come very quickly. And we're also glad that many of our students aged 18 and 19, the ones who might be out quite more than others, that they will also have been offered vaccines. And that's putting us in a much better place than we were this time last year.
Now, do you have any concerns at all? I mean, are there teachers who are saying, you know, I don't want to take the vaccine? And what do you do with teachers like that?
Well, the Irish Congress of Trade Unions are working on all types of workers who will have concerns about taking the vaccines. And, you know, they might have their own health issues and for their own various reasons. But obviously, from our perspective, our teachers want to feel safe. Most of the teachers are very happy and glad and signing up very quickly to take the vaccine, and will feel protected, hopefully, when they go back to school. Now, obviously, as well, there are concerns about the idea that if we are doubly vaccinated, are we fully safe? There are a few little concerns about that, and obviously concerns from high risk and pregnant teachers also.
Sure. I mean, the stats suggest that 1 in 20 who are fully vaccinated, that's if you've got 95% protection from Pfizer or AstraZeneca, it would mean that 1 in 20 would be vulnerable to hospitalisation, because these vaccines are not saying you won't get COVID, they're saying you won't be sick with COVID and you won't be hospitalised. But that would be the same in schools, I suspect, as in society at large.
To an extent, but maybe 1 in 20 might be of a different age than people who are teaching or going to school, firstly. Second of all, does that also include people who haven't waited the time period, so a week or 2 weeks after the vaccination? And also, I think the statistics also show that even though you might end up in hospital, it appears that you will probably come out of hospital safely. And that is our hope.
Yeah. Are you hoping that they'll give the nod to vaccinating those 12 plus?
Well, at the moment, I suppose we've heard Minister Harris saying that people over 16 will be offered a vaccine at the beginning of next month, which is August. So again, we're glad that people over 16 will be offered the vaccine at that point. And again, it will mean that more people in our schools will be vaccinated. Again, as for the 12-year-olds upwards, we're willing to listen to and accept public health advice. And I'm sure that will be issued quite soon.
Now, the other development was the promise of a certain number of CO2 monitors. And people are wondering maybe about CO2 and COVID, but it's to do with air quality. And as the CO2 concentration goes up, it means the air quality is going down. There's not enough fresh air mixing with the air that's being breathed. So if the CO2 quality quantity goes up, it means if there's COVID in the room, its concentration is going up as well. So what do you want to see from the CO2 monitoring?
Okay, so we've been asking for monitors to be provided. We've been asking all year, and we were very happy at the end of May when advice was given to schools, and at a meeting we were told that monitors would be provided. So the monitors are going to be provided in different ways. In primary schools, it depends on the number of classrooms, but from our perspective at second level, it's based on the number of students. So if a school has under 500, they will get 20 monitors, and then it goes up, so up to 750 students, 25 monitors, and if a school has over 1,000 students, it will get 35 monitors. Now, we're very happy with this. It won't be enough monitors to cover every room in the school, but I think schools might have funding that they could go off and buy some extra monitors to cover every room. The monitors, of
I mean,
course,
you're hoping that every, because students move around the place to do different activities. And obviously, when you're sitting at a desk, you'd want all of those to have the CO2 monitors. But if they go into a place, a language laboratory or a scientific laboratory or whatever, even for shorter periods, they still could be exposed. So you want for every room where the students gather, including maybe a common room, there should be CO2 monitoring.
Yeah, we certainly would. But as we say, like to get that money is a huge positive step. And schools can purchase their own and perhaps add to the numbers. And I do expect it was a huge venture for the department. And hopefully they will provide more as the time goes on if they're needed. But we're also told that, you know, when they're in the room, the teachers might actually learn and recognise after a while when they need to open windows. And I think, you know, teachers will have to learn how to read them. So the lower the number, the purer the air. They're measured in parts per million. So if we have a number between 400 and 480, the air seems to be pure and fine. But anything up to maybe 1400, 1500 means that there is very poor ventilation in the room. Now, the monitors are portable, so they can be carried from room to room. But from what I've read, I think they need to be in the room an hour to measure the air perfectly. So you can't just run in next door and borrow one for 10 minutes. I don't think that's a viable option.
Would you like to see a monitor that could be read off the phone? In other words, that it would be connectable to the teacher's phone, and indeed the students, they could all keep an eye on things.
Would be a good idea, and then everybody could see where they stand. And I know some schools have them already, and these seem to be permanent ones that are mounted on the wall, and the reading just flashes big. And I think they're even on corridors in some schools, so people know where they stand. But I suppose the point is as well, it doesn't measure the virus, and it's not going to protect anyone from the virus, but at least it means we know when to open the windows, when to let air circulate. Yeah. And I think teachers last winter have been overly cautious. They were prefab doors open, rain was coming in, people were very cold in the rooms, but it was the only way to ensure that everybody was as safe as they could be under the circumstances.
Certainly easier to put on a sweater and stay warm that way than cope with COVID, that's for sure. Anne, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Anne Piggott is the ASTI president. Siobhan O'Neill is parent of four children, founder of mams.ie. Good morning, Siobhan.
Morning, Pat.
So, school going back, you've got children across the age ranges. What concerns do you have?
I have concerns about the vaccine that the children are going to be offered. My son is 18 and I've been trying to get him into our local pharmacy to have the one-shot vaccine. And I've been in and ringing and trying to book an appointment for the last couple of weeks. Obviously, there's a huge demand. It's been difficult. But my sister had the one-shot Johnson last week and she is very, very sick. She has fever. Her taste and smell are gone. She's been vomiting. She has been very sick. She had to go for a COVID test yesterday. We're waiting on the results of that back. And she's a fitness instructor. She's a capped player for Ireland. She's probably the strongest person I know. She is absolutely floored, so ill. So I'm not going to have my son get that vaccine now. We're going to register him for the Pfizer instead.
You want to wait until you get the word back whether or not your sister has had COVID, because I've been looking on the websites, so all I can find this morning in anticipation of our conversation, and they're not saying that loss of taste and smell is part of a side effect attributed to the Johnson & Johnson. It is, on the other hand, a side effect attributed to COVID. It says the more extreme effects from Johnson & Johnson would be flu-like symptoms, a bit of nausea perhaps, temporary, and pain at the site of the injection. So it's interesting that if it does turn out that a side effect of J&J would be loss of taste, it's something that the scientists should learn of.
Yeah, and we're waiting, and that's literally, she should have her results today. Like, she's just someone who's never sick, you know. I had the Pfizer and I'm fine, everything's grand. So I just would, it's made me hesitate and stop ringing the pharmacy for my son, and I want to wait and see what comes back before we decide. So my concern is the Delta variant. Clearly, it is a big concern, because people who have double jabs are able to catch the strain of COVID. I have a sister living in the UK, in Jersey, in the Channel Islands, and they took their masks off about six weeks ago, and they had three or four cases, and now they've got 3,000 and 10,000 people are isolating. with a population of 90,000. So schools are closed, their children can't play outside, they're in a lockdown. So I speak to her quite regularly. So they tend to be a little bit ahead of us in terms of vaccines and lockdowns and second waves and third waves. So kind of what happens to her happens to us a few weeks later. Now, that's not to say that's going to happen here, but I'm very aware that it's happening there. So I do have concerns about this Delta variant, that a lot of people who have been double jabbed can get it and can get quite sick from it. Obviously, the numbers of people dying have gone down, and that's really good. And I'm glad that I got vaccinated. But I want to make sure that my children are going to get a jab that's well, hopefully it's not going to do anything, you know, really nasty to them for a week or so.
I mean, one of the advantages is, Siobhan, that other countries are doing this. In the United States, they've given the go-ahead, the CDC, and also EMA in Europe have given the go-ahead. It's, you know, you don't want to be profiting on the misfortunes of others. But if everything works out for them, you know, vaccinating huge numbers of children, we can probably be reasonably confident that it'll work okay for us.
Yeah, I guess because it's new, because, you know, the talk of vaccinating the children now is, we're only kind of getting to that point. So I just like to see a little bit of how it's going elsewhere, and that the kids are okay. I'm definitely not, you know, out anti-vax protesting.
Yeah. And
any
what
that.
About indoor dining? Happen. Would you be bringing your kids to indoor dine?
No, I won't. No, I'm not comfortable with that yet. We went down to our local hotel at the weekend, and we sat outside and we had a bite, and it was lovely with the kids. The thing about the indoor dining, there's so much different information. You know, you've got somebody in government saying, go on, go ahead, just be careful. Then you've got, you know, someone from the HSE saying, just be extra careful, don't let them run around and things like that. When you take children out, when you go out to eat as a family, children will never just sit in one seat and behave, because that's just not what kids do. They run around, they want to get crayons, they want to colour in. So presumably with the risks of COVID, you know, the restaurant are not going to be bringing over their usual box with the colouring books and the crayons and things like that. So I suppose if you were going to go indoor dining, you've got to be more prepared than normal perhaps, and bring, you know, activities and things for them to do. But I think I would feel quite stressed to be in a restaurant and to be constantly trying to get them to stay in one place and, you know, careful walking to the bathroom. And that just doesn't sound like a relaxing situation for me.
No.
So I'd rather have
it's supposed to be
and do a barbecue.
Yeah, it's not a treat for you, that's for sure, if you've got to have eyes in the back
no,
of your head.
That's it.
Okay,
I think
Siobhan.
Parents are going to be quite stressed, yeah.
Quite stressed. All right, Siobhan O'Neill White, a mother of four, founder of mams.ie. Thank you very much for joining us.